Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon, the tabletop role-playing podcast that helps game masters learn new games and make each one better than the last. And this season, there will be no game master, there will be no facilitator, there will be no dungeon master, there will only be death. As we watch a group of intrepid cats seek a glorious demise in
Nine Lives to Valhalla!
My name is Brian Flaherty, and I will be taking the mantle of death in this game, and I'm joined by my five ferocious felines, Michelle Chan Bennett.
Meow.
Elliot Davis.
Meow.
Abby Hepworth.
Meow.
Carolyn Page. That was a long one, unexpectedly long one. And Chinook DeSera.
How the fuck am I supposed to follow that shit? Meow.
Meow, see? Meow.
Meow, see?
Welcome back, everybody. How's everyone feeling? You guys excited for a little bit of cat mayhem
Frisky.
And carnage?
Frisky.
So good.
Yeah. Frisky. I feel good.
Here we go. Frisky.
So good. My litter box is full and so is my heart. Yeah. Let's do it.
We all took our poops in the litter box today.
Yeah.
Yeah, to get into character.
Everyone come over and poop at my house.
Yeah, yeah, we had to get into character.
You're getting into character. You got to poop in the litter box at least once. Cool. So we're going to be going through character creation and session zero stuff. But to start us off, let's just do a quick refresher of the game mechanics for this game. It is pretty simple. All your cats are going to have a number of features, but the main ones are going to be their four stats. Those stats are brutality, viciousness, cunning, and ferocity. General idea is brutality is force and hardiness, so kind of strength and constitution. Viciousness is precision and finesse, which is more of like a dexterity type thing. Cunning is your anticipation, your machinations, your scheming. So kind of an intelligence, charisma type thing. And your ferocity is your instinct and your reactions, so kind of a intelligence, a dexterity type thing. You will have those four stats. Each of those stats will be denoted by a certain polyhedral die. So it could be a d4, d6, d8, d10, or d12. Anytime we make a roll in this game, something will die. It could be your cat. It could be the thing your cat is fighting. And that thing that your cat is fighting could be a thing, or it could be an object, or it maybe could be a concept. We don't know. We're going to see what happens. But regardless what happens, the same thing will happen. Your cat will choose two dice to roll based on those stats, whichever you think most apply. You'll roll those two dice and you'll take the highest number. I, as Death, the game master, will choose two dice myself based on what I think best applies. I'll roll those. It's just highest number wins. Anytime someone ties, both things die. So that could be both creatures. It could be your cat and the idea of something. Could be anything. In this game, however, death is not just a looming presence. It is not just a concept, but it is, in fact, a character, in a sense. And it is the person who will be giving you your quest. It is also a thing that, if you so choose, you could choose to try and kill. So at any point, one of the characters... I just saw Michelle's face.
If you wanted to, you could try it.
At any point in the game, if you wanted to, your cat could attempt to kill death itself. In this case, ties go to death.
And what happens if death gets killed, Brian?
If death gets killed, the cat who killed death will assume the mantle of death. So if you kill me, you then become death, and i.e. become the game master.
Yeah.
What?
Take it. So take it with a grain of salt and know that if you choose to go by this route, because I know all of you would like to do this chaotic thing, it also has a bit of responsibility tied to it. So think it through should you choose to do this. There are some other mechanics and things that your characters will be able to do. We'll go over those once we get into the character creation proper. But to start us off, I just want to do a quick check on safety tools for this game, lines and veils. This is a classic safety tool we use here on My First Dungeon. Lines are things we do not want to see in this game. Veils are things we're okay existing in the world, but we'd rather kind of keep off screen. And just to start us off, since this is a game of cats seeking glorious death, we will obviously have to have cats dying. But as a proud owner of two cats, I don't particularly want to have overly dramatic, realistic, brutal deaths of cats because I love my two little baby boys too much. So, so that's my kind of veil off screen thing. But I think if we approach it in a way of we're seeking a glorious death, we should be fine.
Is there like specific things that you would like rather us not use?
You know, not really. I think it if we're having cats seeking glorious death of like of their choosing, it's probably fine. But I think it's one of those things of like, I don't want to dwell too much on the passing of my two sweet baby boys.
They'll never seek glorious death, only treats and snuggles.
Yeah.
I swear to God, if I see a single dog tonight, I'm going to lose it. No. Did you guys see the Frenchie in the playbook?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
it was like nemesis found, nemesis identified, and then it was a charming little Frenchie.
Which I love too, because I was hoodie. Like, that dog definitely didn't exist when Vikings were just like of all the,
oh, this is a post-apocalyptic
good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is post-apocalyptic. This is we exist in a world after humans have long since vanished. We're kind of going to kind of exist in a world of almost like cities being overgrown and reclaimed by nature, and cats have assumed their rightful mantle back at the top of the food chain.
Well, 2027.
Exactly. Does anyone else have any lines or veils they'd like to address for this game, either on mic or we can cut it out off mic?
I kind of don't want to hear about animal sex.
Okay, cool.
Fuck.
Wish you should have told me that before.
Yeah.
Unpopular opinion.
They can be horny. But just don't want them. I don't want
to
be.
They can be horny, but they have to be repressed.
Yeah, repressed and horny.
Yeah, these cats are going to be focused. These cats are going to be focused on achieving their glorious demises. So great. As always, lines and veils and safety tools, it's a fluid line. It's a constant communication. So if we're playing the game or anytime the rest of this conversation, you realize there's something else that you want to add in there, throw it in and we'll make sure the game's fun for everybody. Because that's what safety tools do.
I have a question about the world. Yeah. Like this is in like a... This is in like a Viking analog world, right? So there isn't like, there aren't like machines.
This is like a post-apocalyptic world. So it's like present day stuff exists, but most of it has like cities have been grown over with vines and trees and stuff. Machines probably exist, but they don't really work anymore. Like I don't think cats or okay. anything is like using them, except like maybe here and there as like relics almost.
Okay.
I think like a machine to cats and dogs and birds and things in this world is like, what's that quote about science fiction? Like sufficiently advanced technology is akin to magic.
Mm.
It's kind of that.
Right. Right. Okay, cool.
You guys ready to make some cats?
Meow.
Woo.
Meow.
Let's make some cats.
Meow. Meow.
So first thing everyone's got to pick is a very easy one. We'll start with the easiest one. What's your fur color? Anyone want to throw something out there first?
Well, okay. I have two concepts for characters and both have very different fur situations.
Yeah, go for it. Hit us.
One is a like a snowball cat like that, like real ritzy white cat.
Yeah. Real floof.
Yeah, you plan to play a full white cat, dude? Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. One of them is the chunky gray cat with the little ears that are folded on itself.
A Scottish fold?
Yeah, a Scottish fold. And the other one is a hairless cat.
Ooh. I like the idea of a hairless cat. That's fun. My idea is for a gray cat. And I think having a hairless cat is real cool visually. Yeah,
I like them.
Go for the hairless.
Abby, you have any ideas?
I kind of wanted to be a Norwegian forest cat.
Where's a Norwegian forest cat?
They gotta Google them. They're beautiful. But they're basically like Maine coons, but they live like out in the wilderness. So they're huge, extremely fluffy.
What's the kind of cat that sits on its tail when it's cold? A palace cat?
It's a palace cat.
Palace.
Mm. Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't know if anyone's not seeing a picture of a palace cat. It's so cute. They stand on the snow and their tail curls out in front of them, and they put their paws on the tail so they don't, their little toes beads don't get cold.
I think snow leopards do that too.
Oh, that's very good.
It's very cute. Especially, if, you got to watch a video of it happening. It's so cute.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Norwegian forest cat. So it's kind of like brown, gray, stripe sort of a situation, but very fluffy and also quite large.
Love it. Michelle, any kind of cat color calling out to you?
Yeah, I'm going to be pure Snow White.
I'm okay with that.
And Chinook, what are you feeling?
I was going to pick like a long-haired, like, black cat.
Nice.
My friend Lauren has a long-haired black cat named Hank. Shout out to Hank.
Shout out, Hank.
Shout out to Hank.
Shout out Bart. Shout out Roy. Shout out, we just shout out all the cats we know.
Yeah, I just want to be a classic American short hair, gray, stripey cat who's very, very tubby.
Just a tubby guy?
Tubby.
Real round boy.
I'm deciding where we want to go next. I think just getting like a general description of your cat and also kind of considering the questions, you can choose to answer these now or you can choose to kind of answer them as we go. Two questions that are good to ask in this game are, why did death call to you and what did you leave behind? Because in this game, death is a figure incarnate. It is actually a person who came up to you and delivered unto you a quest. You all start this game having met death themselves, having given you a vital quest. So does anyone have an idea of why death chose you for this mission?
I do.
Yeah, go for it.
It kind of ties into my Panthera pantheon. God, if that's cool, like the backstory, can I get into that a little bit?
Go for it.
So I was thinking that my cat, this big, round, fat cat, is a devotee, a monk of the goddess Tigris. And he is just a creature of comfort. And he like presided over this like brewery monastery where he just like ate all day and drank and like threw rowdy parties and is just a big party guy, just loves to like lay in the sun and roll around and chase after, you know, little springs and stuff that they make from little curls of bark from the trees or whatever. And that he was first recognized by the goddess Tigris because no one could drink more than him. No one could eat more than him. No one laughed louder or longer. And when like brawls broke out in these glorious halls of revelry, he always won. And he would always like wrestle people to ground and stuff. And so he's been just like chosen by this goddess, and then death sees that this is her mightiest warrior and so chooses him. And so that's what he's left behind, is this life of comfort and warmth to go out and do the bidding of death in the darkness.
Love that. And you've also kind of touched on the main mechanic of how you determine your stats in this game is your favored god, which I believe you said Tigris.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But if that conflicts with an idea that someone else is in love with, I'm very open to changing it. So
we won't assign stats just yet, but do start thinking about it as we go around. Depending on what your favorite god is, these are the five cat gods that rule over all of cat kind. Through devotion or mighty deeds, each cat is brought by death to fight, die, or fight again, and is overseen by one of these five gods. They are Pardus, which is the leopard, Onka, which is the jaguar, Tigris, which is the tiger, Leo, which is the lion, and Uncia, which is the snow leopard. Each of these different gods has a combination of four polyhedral die associated with them. So for instance, Tigris is 3d6s and 1d10. So Carolyn, you'll be able to assign those four dice to your four stats of brutality, viciousness, cunning, and ferocity as you choose. So start thinking about that now. We'll come around to that in a little bit. Does anyone else have thoughts about why death chose them and what they left behind?
Yeah.
Chinook, hit us up.
Yeah. Pure, long, black fur, kind of scruffy. Looks like it's never been brushed or taken care of pretty well at all. And my ears are like the Scottish fold ears, kind of tiny and stubs. and it looks like my tail was like cut off, or like someone like bit it off or something. And death called upon me because I think my cat kind of grew up outside of larger societies with a bunch of dogs and other animals in a way, and like had like a twin brother that was a dog. But then upon finding our little civilization, we were like pitted against each other, and my dog brother or sister, my twin, they're out in the world, and death called upon me to go hunt them down and kill them.
Holy shit.
Damn. Jesus.
That's metal. what's your twin's name?
My twin's name is Anura. Anura.
How do you spell it?
A-N-U-R-A.
And you grew up with Anura. You played with them. You loved them. How would you go about tracking them? Like, do they have a specific thing they like? Do they have a certain smell? Mm. What's kind of your instinct of how you're going to find them?
Yeah, I think I know what they smell like. And like growing up with dogs, I like have a heightened sense of smell. And like I know like the habits that she has. Yeah, like I know like her favorite foods and like the time of night that she hunts and all that stuff.
What does she smell like?
She smells like sweet peaches.
Not like wet dog.
Not like wet dog.
I think she smells good. She gets wet.
I think my cat smells like wet dog.
Gross.
Your cat smells like wet dog?
Yeah.
Love it.
And my cat's name is Sarath.
And what are your pronouns?
He, him.
Love it. And then have you looked at the favored gods? Do you have any inkling of what god your cat may be following?
Yeah. I was going to pick Pardis.
Nice. The leopard, twin of Uncia, the smallest of the panthers, but the most adaptable. So that means you will have 2d6s and 2d8s to apply to your stats. So start thinking about where you want to put those now, and we'll keep going around the table. Does anyone else have a thought on why death called to them?
I got one.
Yeah, Ellie, go for it.
So my cat, whose name I haven't decided on yet, is a hairless cat, and he's very kind of smarmy in stature. He sort of got a hunch. And he took a long pilgrimage into these deep, cold tunnels to places of great power because he's a devotee of Uncia. And he likes to take catnip and have mystical visions to communicate with Uncia. And it was at the deepest depths of this cave, which was a Petco, that he met death and was called to adventure.
And what are you leaving behind? Or was this an easy call for you to make?
I think it's an easy call because I think he's obsessed with learning more and more dark magics. And
ooh, okay.
And honestly, if anything, he was trying to get noticed by death, I think, probably.
And in this game, dark magics is always spelled M-A-G-I-C-K-S.
Yeah, because it's cool just, magic.
Because it's cool.
Yeah.
It's metal magic.
Metal magic.
So Uncia, you will have 2d4s, a d8, and a d12. So you're going to have one mega cool dice, two little smaller dices, but I'll let you think about what you'd want for those.
I know where that's going. Don't you worry.
Elliot, did you have a name?
I'm thinking Skunder.
Skunder?
Skunder.
Love it. Is that with a C or with a K?
S-K-U-N-D-R.
Nice. And what are Skunder's pronouns?
Skunder's pronouns are he, him.
I just realized that all of the gods are the Latin names for the different kinds of species.
Oh, clever. That's
cool. Yeah.
Good on you.
Kind of neat.
Brian, did you want us to do all five of the gods, or is it cool if there's repeat?
It's definitely cool if there's repeats. I think repeats could be good because then kind of bonds two characters.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, did you have an idea of?
Yeah, I was also going to be a devotee of Uncia.
Oh,
hell yeah!
Okay,
what's Michelle? What's your description? Why did death call to you?
Yeah, Death called to me because I'm that girl. So my cat came from whatever the equivalent in this post-apocalyptic cat society is equivalent to, like, aristocracy. I'm picturing her living in, like, a snowy, a leftover, like, mansion, like, an abandoned mansion.
Okay.
And with her line, with her dynasty, she's one of many, and she, because of her affluence, is like very bored and like really highly intelligent and a little bit cruel because of that. And I think Death sensed that she was using her powers, the magic that she drew from Uncia, for like dark stuff, when in reality she can go find a secret that can like bring, like, there's like a famine, I think, in the town, sort of around the mansion, right? And so she can actually fix that. But she kind of like is sort of chaotic neutral. So like doesn't really care. So, but she's bored. So I think that this Death is calling to her because she has the skill and needs direction.
Do you say your cat's bored, Death called to them, but they're in a pretty cushy place. Do they feel, is it just like a sense of adventure and a sense of like, I gotta get out of here? That's the reason that they're leaving this place?
I think she's always felt a sense of she is destined for something larger than just like sitting in the comfort of her family home. And so is pursuing this not because she has any loyalty to sort of the serfs cat that live around, but because she at this moment in time feels like she is meant to do something greater, because she knows she's like powerful.
When you left, did you leave behind like family? Like did they bless your going, or did you kind of like skulk out in the dead of night? Or?
I think that they are equally detached from each other because there's so many of them and they're so cushy, and I don't think they noticed.
They didn't notice?
Yeah,
oh,
I don't
wow.
think they noticed.
Damn.
All of them are very independent.
A group of cats is called a clowder, I think. So your clowder didn't even notice. That's just a weird word.
Clowder.
Clowder. Say it, Michelle. Let's hear it.
My clowder.
Yeah.
I feel like Carolyn looked up a bunch of.
Are we legally? Can we only say clowder?
Yeah. We're just going to refer to this group as a clowder.
I love it. The chaotic clowder.
Or the courageous clowder.
I don't know if I want to have to say clowder throughout the whole episode.
Clam clowder.
Clam clowder.
Clam clowder.
So Michelle, you're all white. You're a devotee of Uncia. Which means you as well will have 2d4s, a d8, and a d12 to assign to those stats, which we'll do in a minute. Do you have a name for your all-white?
Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty, all right. All right.
Hello Kitty.
Of the Clowder Sanrio.
How do people refer to you? Do they refer to you as Hello Kitty?
If you're familiar with me, you can just call me Hello, but everybody calls me Hello Kitty. I'm one of those people that everyone calls me first and last name.
I love it.
Hello Kitty's pronouns, she, her?
Mm-hmm.
And Abby?
Yar.
Why did Death call to you?
So tying into that, I think my favorite god is going to be Anka, the jaguar, who carries the moon in the mouth and is about sort of travel and exploration and leaving home. And I think that Death came to me because I have explored a lot of places and so have knowledge of like a bunch of different types of terrain or locations or mm-hmm. have the skills to kind of figure that stuff out pretty easily. And my reputation precedes me.
Like Death showed up and you're like, yeah, I was wondering when you were going to show up.
I was like, yes, it's not a surprise.
What's like an example of a previous quest or thing that like makes you think that you are so worthy of Death's attention?
If people know one thing about me, or if cats know one thing about me, it is the story of the time that I swam across a river to get to the squishies on the other side, the food on the other, the treats on the other side, because I'm not afraid of swimming and getting into, and I'm big enough that like a current's not really going to take me in the same way that it would a tiny little boy. And so I think that it was, yeah, this stash of food across the river. And everyone was like, if only we could get there. And I was like, hold my milk. I'll be right back.
Hold my milk. And is that a truce? Did that actually happen? Or is that like a myth that's been perpetuated?
It definitely happened, but everybody knows a slightly different version. Like it's morphed depending on who tells it in the community. So there's different versions out there, but there is a true version at the base of it.
Cool. So with Anka, you'll have a D4, two D6s, and a D12. So you got that wide stance between the D4 and the D12. Anka, of course, is the jaguar that stalks across the night sky, wandering far from Valhalla's warm halls each night with the moon in his mouth. And then what are you leaving behind to go on this mission, this calling from death?
I think every time because she doesn't really stay in places for very long, but that is starting to weigh on her a little bit. And so the thing she is leaving behind is, and has done this many times before, but it's more and more upsetting, is the idea of actually forming like a community and a connection. So she's, again, I mean, setting out in a group, feeling like, okay, well, I have to give up the things that I might want to do for the greater good. And I'm thinking on her name.
Would you like us to come back?
Yeah. Also, Carolyn, what did you say your name?
I did not, but it's Mr. Tumbo.
Mr. Tumbo. They call me Mr. Tumbo.
And I have a big white belly that's very soft.
Aww.
And I will let you pet it. I'm one of those cats.
It's not a trap.
It's not a trap.
In fact, I insist.
I insist. I will go like this on my back until you do it. For the audience who can't see, I'm doing exactly what you think I'm doing.
Wait, can I change my name?
Yeah, what do you want to change your name to?
Bulla.
Bulla?
It means dog in my language.
Oh, I like that.
Is B-U-L-L-A-H? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, if you want.
Hell yeah.
And Elliot, what was your name?
Skunder.
Right to me.
Skunder.
Yeah. Kind of name you want to brush your teeth after saying.
Yeah.
Skunder.
What?
Great line.
I think I'm going to go with Inga.
Inga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inga's pronouns?
She/her.
Since everyone has their attributes, let's go around real quick and assign those stats. So you have the four stats that are given to you by your favorite god, and you can assign them to brutality, viciousness, cunning, and ferocity.
I just had a note because I'm looking at the weapons, and so you don't have to, but you might want to assign your stats to the kind of weapon that you have. So that's like the stronger one. Does the game even work like that?
That's a good point. Let's look to, before we assign our stats, let's go ahead and also choose the weapon that is your mastered weapon. Every cat is the master of a certain style of weapon. You choose that style and you embrace its nature. The Panthera may bless you with additional mastery or further refine a style you already have to greater heights. You should name and describe your weapon. They are an extension of your will. This is an epic, grandiose game. I want some epic, grandiose weapon fucking titles. A cat may choose to use a weapon they have not yet mastered, but it's likely to break under the unbridled might after a single use. So the weapon that you choose is the weapon that you will likely be most using. The main weapons in this game are dual weapons, which use brutality and viciousness. These allow you to parry and strike with weapons akimbo, precise and strong. Each weapon has things that it employs, which are two stats it employs, and are effective against certain types of enemies. So dual weapons, in this case, are effective against giant and armored foes. We also have single weapons, great weapons, bows, fang and claw, and dark magics. Again, magics with a K. CK.
Of course.
Just got to make sure everyone knows that. Anyone want to start us off with what weapon you would like to be the master of?
dark magics.
Michelle coming in with dark magics.
Somebody had to do it. I was going to say it's too cool to not have that one.
Dark magics employ cunning and ferocity, so you may want to use one of your higher stats in cunning or ferocity. Piercing energies and dooming hexes of madness and despair, they are particularly effective against tricky or against magic foes. Michelle, since you can't really name dark magics, though I guess you could, is there a word of great importance, like a magic word that you use when you're casting your spells?
No, I'm completely nonverbal.
Your character is completely nonverbal?
When I cast spells, I'm completely...
This will be the second time that we've had a mute character on our audio podcast.
I was like, I can't do this again.
Yeah, you just triggered a panic response in Brian.
You know what? It worked. Brian, it worked so out scared. The first time around.
It worked the first time.
We could try it.
Okay,
again.
So to signal when I'm casting a spell, I'll describe the expression on my face, but I'll also simply blink. And Brian, I'll go blink, blink.
and just the process of this is a very I Dream of Jeannie type of move.
Mm. God, yes.
Mm. Yeah, but it's not cute. It's scary.
But it's kind of cute.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna make it so it's like dink dink, but then there's also gonna be like a spooky sound in the back. Love that. Anyone else have a mastered weapon?
I think I'm gonna go with Fang and Claw.
Fang and Claw. Whoa. Employs viciousness and ferocity.
Yeah. With your big meaty paws.
Big meaty paws.
Thank you.
And I'm trying to think of, because I feel like if it's Fang and Claw, that she should have some kind of like a, what's the word I'm looking for? Where it's like
a catchphrase?
No. Where it's like,
I was going to say, you know, like a Kamehameha type
knuckle
thing.
Tattoos?
No, where it's like, it'd be like Inga the Brave or like Inga the I can't think of any.
Oh, like Inga has a moniker.
Like some kind of honorific?
Yeah.
The Daunting?
Something like that.
The Dauntless.
Dauntless? Dauntless.
Inga the Waterbound, Inga the River.
Inga the Unsinkable?
Crosser.
I kind of love Inga the Unsinkable.
Inga the Buoyant? Buoyant?
Like you're a ship.
Yeah. Okay, I've decided I'm going to do Inga the Unsinkable.
So you'll be employing Fang and Claw, which use viciousness and ferocity. They are effective against armored and magic foes. Something to keep in mind. Anyone else? Weapon of choice?
I'm going to do a great axe. So I'm going to have a great weapon, and it's going to be a big axe.
Hell yeah.
With like two axe heads on the end on the
Like a real classic great axe.
Classic great axe.
Great weapons employ brutality and ferocity. The crushing weight of a mighty weapon driving foes in twain. We love driving foes in twain.
I love the word twain.
I love things being cleft in twain. What a great fucking phrase.
Split Robin's arrow in twain. I'm going to assign my D10 to brutality and the rest are D6s. Because brutality is force, vigor, hardiness, and obstinance. And I think my guy's real hardy.
Perfect.
He's a real chonko.
Your weapon will be effective against giant and magic foes. Do you have a name for your weapon, or perhaps a title for your weapon?
Ooh.
I always find that for like great epic weapon names, it's good of having like the name, comma, the blank axe or something.
Mm.
So like Hefty, the blood axe or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's cool.
Hefty.
I was thinking Blood Drinker because blood I'm drinker. From a I was I'm from a
not Blood Lapper.
Winery. No, Blood Drinker.
Blood Drinker. Shuk-a-guk-a-guk. I'm telling you, I'm willing it into being. We're going to have Behold do the theme song for this, and it's going to start off with that classic like metal, you just hear the hi-hat cymbals. Shuk-a-guk-a-guk. 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 Shuk-a-guk-a-guk.
Bart will 100% sing those cues.
A lot of meows in
He's
the
a loud boy.
A lot of meows.
If I've got my druthers.
He's a loud boy.
Who's left? Chinook and Elliot. Either of you have a weapon of choice?
Yeah, I'm also doing dark magics.
Nice. So again, cunning and ferocity, effective against tricky and magic foes.
Yeah.
What do your dark magics look like?
I think that I carry a rat skull that I talk to and that I cast all my spells out of.
Rat skull is your arcane focus.
Yeah.
What do you call the rat skull?
Roderick.
Of course.
You have all this locked and loaded.
I don't know why I asked, honestly. It was obviously.
Yeah, why, what do you mean?
Yeah. You know, just you got to ask.
Yeah.
And I guess actually this is fun because both you and Michelle, both dark magics, both followers of Uncia. What do you think of Hello Kitty's magics and castings? Do you like appreciate them? Do you think they're good, or are you like, this is an amateur?
I don't know. I think Skunder feels like Hello Kitty's not willing to get her paws dirty to do the real dark magics. Gotten too cushy up there in the mansion.
Wow.
Class warfare. Yeah.
And Hello Kitty, what do you think about Skunder's rat skull for casting magic?
I think that if you have to use a tool or get high to cast magic, you're not really that powerful. You're not really that good at magic.
That is Skunder to a T. He is just always eating catnip or snorting it. He's getting catnip in him however he can. And then talking to a rat Skunder. Skull.
Whatever orifice is open to him, he's using. Love that.
Yeah, you have innate talent. Skunder has devoted himself to darkness.
This is real sorcerer versus wizard type shit.
Yeah, definitely. More like sorcerer versus warlock, honestly.
Sorcerer versus warlock, sure.
Yeah.
And Chinook, what are you feeling?
I was going to do the dual weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Dual weapons.
What kind of weapons?
I was going to do, if you'll allow it, I was going to pick Urumi's, U-R-U-M-I. They're like these whip sword things. They look sick, dude.
Like Volo and Soul Calibur?
It's so funny because I would describe it as a cat's tail whip, but with knives.
It looks like a cat toy. It looks like a straight up cat toy.
It does.
Oh my God. Sick. That's fucking cool as hell.
We're giving the people so much stuff to Google. It's great.
Yeah, Google that shit. That's Google my fucking culture, you dweebs.
Put this as an Assassin's Creed, gang. Come on, what are we doing?
Yeah,
you can absolutely have dual Urumis. It'll be very fun.
Urumis, excuse me.
They employ brutality and viciousness.
Come on, pretty mommy.
So vicious.
That's Chinook's culture.
Jared Head. Island living.
So dual weapons employ brutality and viciousness. They are effective against giant and armored foes. So something to keep in mind. And do these dual weapons have a name?
Urumi Arami, and you have to sing it like that.
One's just the name of the weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Urumi and Arami.
Rumor tells of the secret third, come on, pretty mommy.
That's good. Now you've got your quest.
You're going to be like, what is it, Zoro in One Piece? We have the third sword in your mouth.
Yeah.
The 80s are over, and you're not kids anymore. Now is a much darker time. Something happened to you, and you got touched by the weird, and it made you wild, and it made you powerful. This is the world of The Lost Bay, a suburban gothic RPG. A fever dream set in 1990X and inspired in equal parts by dark fantasy, horror classics, and the 90s indie culture. After years of development, and thanks to the feedback and support of a community of early enthusiasts, The Lost Bay is coming to Kickstarter, featuring a full rulebook and complete setting designed by Eco, kick-ass art by Evangeline Gallagher, killer maps by Strega Wolf Vandenberg, and 6 additional modules by some of the coolest designers in the indie scene. So go right now to thelostbayrpg.com to back this project. That's thelostbayrpg.com. The Gardens of Yin is now funding on Kickstarter. The Gardens of Yin is a randomized depth crawl adventure set in an ever-shifting extra-dimensional garden. The deeper you head into the gardens, the more perilous and unusual the locations become, ending in whatever secrets lie in the garden's deepest depths. Each route of your expedition is generated as it's explored, resulting in new vistas being unlocked with every visit. This campaign will remaster Gardens of Yin by Emmy Allen, with new art by Riot Bones and an offset print run by Soul Muppet Publishing. Gardens of Yin is made for old-school systems, but can be easily converted for use in other TTRPGs. To support this project, search Gardens of Yin on Kickstarter. That's Gardens of Yin, spelled Y-N-N, on Kickstarter. Have you ever had a boring boss battle in a role-playing game? Ever struggled your way to the climax of a dungeon only to spend 3 hours taking turns rolling to hit? Ever wished there was a way to have exciting fights where your tactics matter without getting bogged down in minutiae and maths? Of course you have. And the good folks at Rowan Rook & Deckard, creators of Spire, Heart, and many other fine role-playing games, are doing boss battles justice with Hollows. Hollows uses a lock-on combat grid focused around the boss monster instead of the location, so it's always the center of attention, and your position always matters. With rules inspired by Bloodborne and Monster Hunter, and a setting inspired by Silent Hill and Jacob's Ladder, Hollows is a unique new game from award-winning designers Grant Howitt and Christopher Taylor. You can learn more and download the free quick start adventure, The Sins of Grisham Priory, by visiting rrdgames.com/hollows. So now that you have your mastered weapon, you have a better idea of where you can assign your four attributes, your brutality, your viciousness, your cunning, and your ferocity. So I'm just going to go around real quick and we'll just say what you'd like to assign to each. Carolyn, I know you already said you're going to do your... what are you going to do?
I'm going to do brutality, D10, mm-hmm. viciousness, D6, ferocity, D6, and cunning, D6.
Awesome. Elliot?
D12, ferocity, D8, cunning, D4, viciousness, and brutality.
Hell yeah. Schnook.
D8 brutality, D8 viciousness, D6 cunning, D6 ferocity.
Nice. Michelle, Hello Kitty.
I don't want to just do the same as Elliot.
You could flip-flop cunning and ferocity. I figured you would. That's why I went, honestly, the way I did.
Really?
I figured you would be a bit more cunning.
Why? I'm just kidding.
Because of
because of your character.
Is that the Hello Kitty voice?
Why would you say that? No, I'm nonverbal. Okay, yeah, I think I actually, yeah, sure. Let's do that. So D4 brutality, D4 viciousness, D12 cunning, D8 ferocity.
Love it. And Abby?
I'm going to do D4 brutality, D6 viciousness, D6 cunning, and D12 ferocity.
Hell yes. Great. So we have a lot of the character creation already done with that. In the game proper, there's only one more thing you'd have to do, which is choose your blessing of Valhalla. For most games of Nine Lives to Valhalla, you start with one blessing of Valhalla, and every time your cat dies and visits the gates of Valhalla, and is hoisted by the Valkyries up to the gates of Valhalla, you are repelled from the gates because it is not your time to reach your final death, but you are given an additional blessing of Valhalla. So with every death, you'll get a little bit stronger. However, because we're doing a one-shot, I don't want us to start on every cat's first life.
Mm. Come on.
So what I'd like to do.
Ryan.
So what I'd like to do. Everyone can choose. You can either choose to randomize this by rolling 1d6 and adding 3 to find out how many how many lives you have left.
Oh, left. Okay.
Or you can choose how many lives you have. But keep in mind, for every life you have lost, you will get an additional blessing of Valhalla. So if you choose to only have 2 lives, you're going to start the game with 7 blessings of Valhalla. But also keep in mind that every time I ask you to roll the dice, something dies. And that could very well be your cat.
What is something? Like, is it just like, could it be like a nearby blade of grass? Like, what is something?
It is whatever you are making the roll against. So essentially, if I'm asking for a roll, it's generally going to be an obstacle that you're coming up against, or it is something that you are having to face. So it could be you're fighting some like armored crabs and you're going to see which one of you wins in a fight. It could also be you're trying to swim across a river or leap across a ravine. And if you fail, you die. Of course, then we will have to figure out what happens if you kill a ravine. What does that look like? And we'll kind of navigate that as a group.
Nothing much.
Nothing much. Yeah,
just, you know what that looks like. Everybody knows.
Come on.
You know what? That was a bad example. I'm sorry. I in the moment, I couldn't improvise. I'll just go around the table. Elliot.
Yeah, I'm going to roll.
You're going to roll? Go ahead and roll.
Yeah, up to the gods. Oh, that's a 6.
You rolled a 6, so you're starting with the full complement of lives.
Goloth.
Not.
He's just a kitten.
That's not what Skunder wants you to think. Skunder wants you to think he's on his like 4th or 5th life, but
Skundis.
Awesome. Carolyn, Mr. Tumbo.
I rolled a 1.
You rolled a 1, so 1 plus 3 is 4.
Is 4.
Famously.
Whoa.
Famously. So you've died 5 times?
I've died 5 times.
But you're so cute. And
I'm very cute. 2 of them have been just drinking related.
A glorious drinking.
That's the best.
Glorious drinking.
Glorious drinking. Yeah.
So Carolyn, you've had 5 deaths thus far. Give us one of them. And keep in mind that every death in this game has to be glorious and epic.
It started at dawn. We cracked open the casks of mead and drank and drank and drank. And then we fought and drank some more. It was glorious. I only know that because as I look down upon my dead body, I could see everyone around me was fucking cheering because I'd just done a cool keg stand. But I was blacked out as fuck by then. And that's how I died.
Excellent.
One time.
It might have happened twice, but no more than twice.
It did happen again, but that's a tale for another time. I didn't intend this to be so piratey. I'll work on it in between sessions. Gar.
Chinook, Bulla, do you want to choose your deaths or do you want to roll for it?
I rolled a freaking 2.
2 plus 3, famously, 5. So you've lost 4 lives. Tell us one of the glorious deaths you have so far felt.
Well, this one time, I was tracking my sister to murder her gloriously, and turned out it was a little trappy that they set for me. She knew I was coming. She smelled the wet dog from a mile away. And I was then being chased by a ravenous pack of what could only be described as large cannibal wolves. And they chased me down to the cliff edge. And then I made a last stand where I killed 4 of 5 of them before slipping and falling off the cliff, where the wolf then jumped after me. And what killed me wasn't the fall, but it was murdering the wolf in midair as I fell.
This is very my girlfriend goes to another school.
That's how I die.
We're just supposed to believe this.
Yeah, you were supposed to believe that this is how I die.
I killed four out of five of them.
I made quick work of four or five. I realized I'm very talented and good. And I almost survived. Quick work.
It's given me real Sherlock Holmes Reichenbach falls, taking them over the edge with you.
It's truly one of those moments. I saw the moves in like the time paused and I could like move, you know.
Sure. And
I was really cool. You guys should have seen it.
I wish I'd been there.
It happened.
Keep in mind, death has chosen all of you for a reason. It's because you are.
It happened. Death knows. Tell him. Come on, back me up.
You were there. You watched.
So resummon that dog spirit. They can tell it too. Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
In this game, we assume not just competence, but indeed excellence.
Guys, I'm excellent.
Yes, sweetie.
Michelle, Hello Kitty. How many lives do you have left?
Let's see. I rolled a 5.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So 5 plus 3 famously is 8. So you've only lost one life and you've lost it gloriously. How did you lose your one life?
I murdered her.
I was experimenting with my spells.
And it horrifying. Went, that voice is horrifying.
And it went horribly wrong.
What were you trying to do with the spell? And what ended up happening?
I was trying to mute one of my siblings.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
And what happened?
And what ended up happening?
And instead, I created a large mushroom cloud of ultraviolet energy.
Were you the only casualty? Or were there other casualties?
No. I wasn't the only casualty, but no one had their final death.
Oh, okay. So then it's okay. Then
no
it's okay.
Harm, no foul.
It's like Doctor Who regenerations. As long as it's not the last regeneration, it's cool. It's all groovy.
Mm-hmm. Is your sibling mute now?
Sadly, no. Very annoying.
Hello Kitty's terrifying.
They talk like this. I'm your brother. Oh, I'm the cat. This is how I talk. I'm your brother.
I'm a cat.
Hello Kitty is giving me real Yzma after she gets transformed into a cat vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Last but not least, Abby. Inga.
Inga also rolled a 1.
Inga
has been around the block.
Lives left.
Yeah.
Inga's the most intimidating to me.
She's glad to hear that.
Because, like, Norwegians are, like, they're really cool looking, but they're not, like, and they're cute and pretty, but they're not, like, a cute, like, kitty. They look like monsters in a cool way.
I was going to say, they look like they're intense kitties.
So, Inga, what was one of your most epic deaths up till now?
Inga was traveling up a very snowy mountain, trying to reach the top, the peak of the mountain, and in a snowstorm came upon a snow leopard who was guarding the top and said, "No, you can't come up here. This isn't your thing." And Inga faced down the snow leopard in an epic battle to the death.
And did you take the snow leopard with you in your glorious death?
No. I think Inga lost, but it was one of those things where, like, it was a really epic and glorious, as you know, is the theme battle, where it came down to the end of it was like, this is clearly going to be the final blow. And before the snow leopard finished the job, it was a look of shared, like, respect of you. This wasn't easy. You gave me quite the fight, but it's not your time to go to the top of this mountain.
Love it. One thing that there's still 2 things we have to do. We have to choose our blessings of Valhalla. And we also have to have each of you choose your hated nemesis.
Mm.
and also decide what they're known for. And Abby, Inga, I'm curious, is your hated nemesis this snow leopard, or is it something else?
It's actually something else. I think the snow leopard, it was like a mutual respect of like, all right, this is your territory, and when you deem me worthy of going up here, I can come up there. I think that Inga's hated nemesis is someone that she met many travels before, but who just kind of keeps popping up and is like really annoying and likes to recount Inga's stories, but always in a sort of like not giving them due respect, where it's like a funny bar tale where he adds comedic points to it. And she's like, no, it was glorious and you owe me that respect. And he doesn't do it.
What's his name?
Jeffrey Paws.
Mr. Paws, I presume.
Mr. Paws.
And I wouldn't give him that much respect. I always call him by his full name.
What kept you from killing him up till now?
Every time we've actually physically been in the same space together, it was the kind of thing where Inga felt it wasn't like an honorable enough, that like she didn't want to just cut it short. It's like, no, you've disrespected me, so I want this to be a thing. Like she's putting too much on it. And every time they've actually physically been in a space together, it's like, this isn't just not the right place. And then all of a sudden he'll disappear or she'll get called away.
And is he a cat?
He is a cat.
Cat.
Meow, see?
Meow, see?
Carolyn, Mr. Tumbo, who is your hated nemesis?
Mr. Tumbo in the house.
That's what I say to my cat Pearl when she's like investigating something. I call her Pleepo most of the time. I go, Agent Pleepo on the case. So that's a little bit about my cats. I was originally thinking as my enemy, if someone wants to take this, please feel free. I was thinking that there's an ancient artifact that's really terrifying. That's a Roomba, but they don't know that it's called that, but it's like, that could be a hated enemy. I think that'd be funny. But I think I'm actually going to do my hated nemesis is because I'm like this monk that's like about revelry and loves catnip, loves to like lap up a bunch of mead, that there's sometimes the dogs, police dogs, like German shepherds, will come and like sniff out the catnip and like contraband. And so I think my hated nemesis is a police dog.
Is it a specific police dog?
Yeah. A specific police dog. I don't know their name, but I know their scent. And they're a German shepherd with a clipped ear and like a ridge of a black streak down their back, like a Rhodesian ridge back, but they're a German shepherd.
What do they smell like?
They smell like the fucking cops, bro. They smell like they smell
like fucking bacon, dude. What do you mean?
They smell fucking bacon, bro. They smell like, first of all, we all know dogs are dirty. They'll roll in their own poop. They'll roll in dead animals, and cats are very clean. Like, I love to party, but I always keep it clean. And so I think they smell like a dead raccoon because they like to roll in them.
Damn.
Gross.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is a note, but all of the times that I've died have been at dawn.
Always die at dawn.
Every time I've died, it's been very right spicy. As the sun comes up. Yeah, it's pretty glorious.
Yeah, it's pretty glorious.
It's pretty glorious.
Mr. Tumbo on the case.
Skunder. Elliot.
Skunder.
Skunder.
I hope Skunder says his name like that all the time.
Skunder.
He's like a Pokemon. Skunder, Skunder,
Skunder, Skunder.
No, Skunder's nemesis, bet you didn't see this coming, is Roderick, the headless English rat, who survived after Skunder took his head.
That's so badass.
And continues to haunt him. So when he's speaking to the head, he's speaking to the still alive headless mouse that is like essentially just all the time telling him that he's going to kill him.
I love it.
It's super fucked up, man.
Oh my God. It's kind of like God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah, except in, well, yeah, yeah. It's exactly like that. I was going to say except in reverse, but I have the head, not the body. So yeah, exactly like that.
That's so fucked up. I love it. Hello Kitty, Michelle, who's your hated nemesis?
My hated nemesis is a bunny named Melody.
What did Melody do to cross you?
Melody is just comes from like a rival aristocratic family and is like equally powerful to me. And I just want to be the baddest bitch. And Melody also wants to be the baddest bitch.
Did you go to parties together like as kids? Was it like were you friends?
Yeah. I wouldn't say friends, probably contemporaries.
Contemporaries.
Rivals consistently.
Does she also use dark magics?
Mm-hmm.
But she's even quieter when she does hers.
I was going to say, how does she cast her magic?
She blinks once.
It's only one blink, not two
blinks. No, she wiggles her nose. She's a rabbit.
Oh, there you go.
That's so good.
That's cute.
Duh.
I want this to be real.
It is.
It is real. It's in our imagination.
That's not
it's
real.
It's as real as That's we want it bullshit. To be. And Chinook, Bulla.
My hated nemesis is a cricket named Ethel.
I love it. But how did Ethel cross you?
Ethel is the one that like made the wild society of dogs and cats turn against each other and whispers into my sister's ear and is the reason that they have betrayed me and like is the reason why I'm hunting them down for death. And they've also found a way to steal the lives of cats. So my sister's died multiple times, but Ethel somehow is able to take lives from cats to give them to her, including two of my own.
Ooh.
Whoa.
What the heck,
Nuke, how
Ethel?
How do you consistently make the like silliest and most like dramatically twisted, like energetically intense game moves all the time? I just, I don't know how you do it.
Wild.
I got a fucked up little brain.
It turns out the exact opposite of Jiminy is Ethel. I love it. Those are some amazing hated nemeses. The last thing we have to do is choose your blessings of Valhalla. Now, for those of you who have lost lives, you get one blessing of Valhalla per death. So everyone starts with one no matter what. And you get one additional blessing per death you've gone through. Just for expediency, I don't want to go through all of their blessings. I'll let you, because there's a bunch of them. I think there's like 20 or 25. So I'll let you look through those on your own time. You can send me them sometime before we play. But just for the purposes of this podcast, can everyone look through and pick one that you think would be something you'd want to use more than usual?
I'm, again, not entirely positive I'm pronouncing it correctly, but blessing of Bubastis's fur. It says, your fur is marked with weird and shifting darkness. Roll an additional d6 when striking from the darkness.
Excellent. Anyone else have a blessing that is calling to them?
Blessing of ancient witch familiars.
Ooh, what does that say?
A witch familiar from the Age of Man has shared the curse of cryptic prophecy. Anytime you roll a 6 when using your cunning, you may ask a question of death, which will be answered in strange, disturbing visions.
Hell yeah. Love little witches familiar. Anyone else have a blessing that's calling to them?
I'm going to do blessing of decapitation.
What does that do?
Great weapon. I already have the great weapon, so I'll roll an additional d6 when I use them.
Hell
I'm fucking
yeah.
Min-maxing this season, baby. Playtime over.
It's amazing to min-max a game that has one mechanic.
Wee! I'm still going to do it. Let's break this game.
Don't worry. By the time we get to, if anyone gets down to like their last life, you're going to have 9 blessings of Valhalla. You're going to be fucking jacked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Michelle, anything calling out to you?
Yeah, blessing of cold flame. So gain knowledge of dark magics and the mastery to use them in battle. If you already have mastery over dark magics, which, check, roll an additional d6 when you use them.
Love it.
Amazing.
And Chinook, what are you feeling?
Oof. I'm going to say blessing of the gifted breath of mankind's babe. You may speak as men once spoke. One on exactly one occasion, you may issue a simple command to a dog and they must obey.
Oh,
ooh, love
speak
it.
Speak as men once spoke. Dumb, stupid.
I love it. Again, a lot of you have more Blessings of Valhalla to choose. I'll let you do that on your own time. So that is it for character creation for Nine Whoa! Lives of Valhalla. We have five ferocious felines.
Is that a hairball?
Everyone sounds feral.
Can I get a meow meow?
Meow meow. Meow.
Not as good as before, but, you know.
So for our game, we are going to be playing an adventure that is going to be at least loosely based on the adventure module, The Wreck of the Murderess, which was released by Gem Room Games. The Wreck of the Murderess starts with you guys on a ship called the Murderess, sailing off to a distant island where there is some kind of something happening there. That Death has asked you to investigate and possibly deal with. But that you are on the last leg of your journey at the start of our adventure. You guys have crossed many terrains on your own to get to a port to then sail for many days, if not weeks. So you've had a lot of time to get to know each other. I want to go around the table and from each of you, everyone choose one person you've had a really great moment with and tell me what that was, and one person who you had like not a great moment with or like a point of contention. Let's start with Mr. Tumbo.
Okay, I think I've really enjoyed just the largesse, just like the bigness and like the wild stories, and kind of see someone who's maybe died as many times as I have in Inga. And I think, like, while maybe the younger cats are, like, sleeping, we, like, sit out and, like, share a cup of, like, warm mead on the prow of the ship and, like, tell glorious tales of old. So I feel like that's been a fun time. And then I feel like watching Hello Kitty, like, practice the dark magics and stuff has been, like, we've maybe, like, clashed because I'm kind of, like, loosen up, like, have some drink some mouse blood or whatever, calm down. And she's like, no, I have to practice like my magics a little bit. And so maybe we've like, I think I've kind of always lived in like a more rough and tumble like community way, and she's like from this aristocracy that I don't quite connect with, if that's cool with you, Michelle.
And also the vintage of mouse blood that you're drinking, I mean, come on. Mouse blood with fish? Come on. You don't mix red with
come
fish.
Come on. You don't mix red.
Yeah,
with
you have
fish.
Mouse piss with fish.
Exactly. Ugh.
Yeah. Mmm, yum yummy.
So Elliot, Skunder, what is a positive relationship you have, and what's a point of contention with another of your feline crewmates?
I think that positive is Inga, because I think that Skunder gets the read maybe from Roderick the rat head, or maybe just from like kind of magic sense, that Inga has died so many times and has like a deep respect for that and like a jealousy of a number of blessings Inga has. So I think there's like a positive respect there. And then I think negative is maybe Mr. Tumbo, because there is a cuteness to Mr. Tumbo that Skunder resents as a very yucky cat.
All right. Love that. Bulla, what is a connection you've made with someone that's positive, and what's a point of contention you've had with another member of the crew?
I think, and this is cool with Elliot and Michelle, I think Bulla really likes Hello Kitty because he doesn't understand that they're doing dark magic because they are nonverbal. And so it's like, this is just a really like sweet, nice cat friend that we brought along, and I have to like protect them, even though they're very capable of like doing everything themselves. And then I'm terrified of Skunder because he talks to a rat skull and magic comes out of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I even call Skunder by his real name. I'm like, sorceress, get out of here. And I like kind of just follow. I'm like very, yeah, I enjoy Hello Kitty and think they're like the smartest, funnest person. If that's cool with you too.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love that.
Yes, I love to be loved. Hello Kitty, Michelle.
I think that Hello Kitty gave Inga a makeover one time.
Brushed out the kinks in her fur.
And I don't know if they were in a market, like bought her something because she thought she would look good. And they like bonded because they're kind of like the two girls in the gang. And then I think she's got a mad beef with Big Scundus over there. Because he just like repulses her and she thinks that he's inferior because he has to use his like the rat skull and like gets high all the time. And she thinks that he lacks focus and discipline and like isn't serious about magic in the way that she is. And she thinks that he has potential, but like but he doesn't have like the right constitution or like discipline or anything.
Love the contention between the magic users.
She's like, you have adult ADHD, and I don't have time for it.
Also, this rat
get
skull.
Get it together.
This rat skull is a deliberate affectation. You don't need it for magic casting.
You don't need it.
It's a crutch. It's only holding you back. It's a crutch.
Inga, Abby.
Oh, it's so funny because I feel like I was going to say a lot of these. Like the relations to Inga, like I had similar ideas of, yeah, I think that Inga doesn't like to admit that she has a lot of pride. Like that's 100% the deadly sin she's most guilty of. And so, yeah, getting her fur like kind of done up and looking cute. She's like, I don't like that I love this, but she does. And yeah, like swapping war stories and loves that like Mr. Tumbo. Similarly, like telling stories in bars and all of those things. I think that Inga is skeptical of Bulla because you grew up with dogs and that you say that you're hunting down your twin, but I don't feel completely sure of your motivations and am nervous that you're not, that you may turn on us in favor of, yeah.
Hmm. Ooh.
Yeah.
Now I just might.
You just might.
Now I just might.
Like Inga's just a little just wary of fully putting faith in you.
Mm. Am I aware of, are you vocal about that or? Is it just you keep it to yourself?
I think it's a thing where Inga is a little bit reserved. So you're kind of a little like, it's the thing where you're like, are you quiet or are you mad at me?
Right.
Like,
so how was your day?
She's a little bit
my nightmare.
Hard for you to read.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And actually, Bulla, I had a question I just thought of. Since you were like raised with dogs, do you have any like dog-like affectations?
Oh, big time. I'm very friendly, maybe a little annoying and needs a lot of attention.
Love it. So just the last thing we'll do is wishes for the game. So just anything that you can think of that you like, we're playing a game of Viking cats seeking glorious death. What is the thing you most want to see in this game? What's like the experience you want to have that would be the highlight of that thing? And anyone feel free to jump in. Caroline, go ahead.
I want like a battle where there's like two chariots like racing along a road and then it's a chariot battle and we're like battling on the other ones on the chariots.
Chariot battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Opportunities for cool like combinations for us to do together. Like non-traditional battle structures. Of like not just like we're flying, I don't know, we have wings somehow and we're flying around. That'd be sick.
Combo moves.
We could throw each other.
We could throw each like, other. Yeah, like sky battle.
Yeet you. Yeah.
Yeah. some crazy shit, dude.
Want to be yeeting people.
Fucking crazy.
I just want to yeet people.
I want to get yeeted or someone to
do
get.
Do kids still say yeet?
What is the opposite of yeet? Isn't there an anti-yeet?
Michelle, Skeet? You're 14.
Yes.
you know what the kids like. Do they still say yeet?
Yeah, we're saying it all the time.
Yeet this, yeet that. Yeet that with a little bit of salt and pepper.
Yeet, yeet it, yeet.
Yeet your vegetables.
Yeah. I yeet, yeet weet. Michelle, what do you want to see in the game?
Tell me if this is out of line, but I want to solve riddles.
I love riddles, so I said this.
All right, solving riddles.
Perhaps a troll has some riddles for us.
Oh my God. Don't tempt me, Frodo.
Abby, what do you want to see in the game?
Oh, I mean, I second riddles. You know, I love to finagle a mystery. Maybe some betrayal? Not necessarily PvP.
But some betrayal.
But some betrayal. Ooh, betrayal could be and interesting. Intrigue.
What's PvP?
Player versus player.
Oh, I figured that out in my head as you, and then you answered, and I was like, you're
like, yes.
Three more seconds and crack that.
That's a riddle for you.
That's the riddle right there.
That's the first riddle.
Okay, well, clearly I'm very good at riddles.
I love it. And Elliot Skunder, what wishes do you have for the campaign?
I just like love mythic battles in like video games and stories and stuff. And so I really want to fight something that has like scale, like a God of War battle kind of scale, like a really fuck off monster that ultimately gets taken down in like one epic move.
You're talking like kaiju battle, Shadows
kaiju
of the Colossus.
Kaiju level battle where you're like, you know, like old Prince of Persia games where you're like climbing up and you're hitting the button to keep climbing and all that. Yeah.
100%. Love it. And that is all for this episode of My First Dungeon. Tune in next time to see these ferocious felines seek a glorious death in our game of
9 Lives to Valhalla!
Bye-bye, everybody.
Meow, meow.
Meow. Woof.
Woof? What's that woof doing in there? Get that woof out of here. If you're hearing this, that means you have listened to every last second of this episode, and that probably makes you a fan of this show. Well, if you're a fan and you like what we're doing and want to help others find it as well, then consider leaving us a 5-star review over on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts. Getting more ratings really does help more people find the show, and reading your nice words about the things that we put out into the world makes us feel all warm and good inside, and we want more of those good, good feels. So head on over to your podcast player of choice and leave us a 5-star review. Thanks.